Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Yesterday we started with verse 20 of Genesis 3 that says, "Now the man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all the living." From this we learn that the name Eve means life, living, and she who gives life. Eve is a beautiful name. And what stands out to us about Eve and her name here at verse 20 is that the Bible is in the midst of describing how death is the result of sin. In the previous verse, verse 19, God punished Adam with death. God said, "For you are dust, and to dust you shall return." That most definitely speaks of death. And then in the next verse, verse 21, the Bible says, "The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them." In order for God to make garments of skin, that means God first killed the animals to whom the skin originally belonged. Again, death. But here at verse 20, we have life. In the context of death comes a one-liner on life. So, being good students of the Bible, we should pause and ask a question. I think this is a pertinent question. In naming his wife life, where did Adam get the idea that out of death comes life? What basis would the first man, under the judgment of God, have for giving this name Eve to his beloved wife? I believe the answer is found back in verse 15. In verse 15 of this same chapter, God is judging Satan. God is punishing the devil, and the Lord God says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel." Do you remember what we said about this verse when we discussed it some time ago? Let me refresh your memory. We said that herein lies the first gospel, the protoevangelium, which is a compound word meaning first gospel. Genesis 3:15 is the beginning of the gospel of salvation from sin. Some call this the mother promise, or the first promise, that God gave to humanity concerning how we will be set free from our sin and set free from the penalty of death. This speaks of Christ. Christ is the one who will bruise Satan on Satan's head. That happened exactly as God said it would on the cross of Christ. A good way to remember this third part of verse 15 is to think of a war and to label it this: Jesus versus Satan. God gives a prophecy and predicts that Jesus will crush Satan. Jesus will be victor. This is a long war. There are two single contestants, Jesus and the devil, but there is only one victor, Christ. And this is the hope that all who follow Christ have. Our enemy, Satan, has been defeated, is being defeated, and will be defeated by our Master and Lord Jesus. As we sing, "There is victory in Jesus." Our theologian friends speak to this. Dr. Aldears says this is the gospel announced by God himself to our first parents. Dr. Leupold writes, quote, "This promise was intended to furnish light for the first believers, and for centuries was the only light their faith had. It furnished sufficient light for these patriarchs to enable them to walk by that light. In other words, we can and must subscribe to the statement that this word held up the Savior before their eyes, and so made it possible for them to believe on him." That is so true. Another pastor theologian, Robert Harbash, put it this way: all the people of God had the entire gospel of salvation from the beginning. In the course of history, the gospel is gradually revealed in all its implications. End quote. What he is saying is that the complete gospel is given by God up front at the start, but the implications of this gospel will be learned throughout the remainder of the Bible. Satan hears this as his punishment for bringing sin to woman in the garden in Eden. But we hear this as the lifting of our punishment for our sin. So what dooms the devil is what delivers those of us who believe this gospel. If you have received and believed this same gospel, this good news, that Christ has bruised, he has crushed Satan's head, then you hear this completely differently than the devil did. Later, of course, the gospel will be given as a promise to man and woman, but initially it takes form in the sentencing of Satan by God. This is what I said back at Genesis 3, verse 15, and I apply that now here at verse 20. Guess who else was listening as God condemned Satan? Adam was. And Adam picked up this promise of the gospel, and he applied it to his life and the life of his wife, whom he now calls Eve. Despite the fact Adam has just been given a death sentence, Adam believes that he will live. What this tells us is that Adam is now a man of faith. He has faith in the promise of God given back in verse 15. Do you see the connection? It would be valuable if you make this connection in your Bible because this answers an age-old question concerning the first man. Here is that question. After the fall, did Adam repent of his sin and believe in God? The answer is yes. I believe Adam did repent of his sin and believed in God this time. Obviously, the first man failed to believe in God back at the start of the chapter when tempted by the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He sinned. But now, at verse 20, Adam is a firm believer. Pastor Harbash comments again, saying that Adam had remarkable faith in the promise of Genesis 3:15. Adam did not name Eve before the fall, nor did he wait until after their first son, Cain, was born. He continues with this gem. Adam was in death, so you would think Eve would be called the mother of the dying. But in Eve, Adam sees the way out of misery and death for the both of them. That was Robert Harbash, and his insight is spot on. It's correct. I remember that even when I was a young man, just a kid, I was fascinated by what I read in the Bible. At first, the scriptures were read to me by my mother, primarily at bedtime, out of a big, red, bound children's Bible with pictures. And one of the questions that I found intriguing was whatever happened to Adam and Eve's relationship to God after they sinned. I certainly knew of the punishment, but when I kept reading into Genesis chapters 4 and 5 and beyond, I learned they did not immediately die. In fact, Adam lived until he was 930 years old. 930 years. Imagine that. So, did Adam have his relationship with God set right? Did Adam express sorrow over his sin and repent of it? Did he start walking in obedience to his Lord? 930 years are a long time. Maybe that is a question you have had. You know, it took me some years to figure out how to answer this. A lot of the inquiries we have as children are not really answered until much later. And for me, this was one of them. Likewise, I remember the day I found my answer. And I was happy. I was relieved. Adam reconciled with God. And he did so the same way I am reconciled to God. Both Adam and I live at peace with the Lord because we come to the throne of Almighty God through Jesus Christ. This man, Jesus, promised in Genesis 3:15, is the same one of whom it is said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Notice that last word, life. Out of death comes life for Adam, for Eve, for all who believe in Jesus. I hope that you have received and believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ today. Going back to Genesis 3, verse 20 again, let me share with you one more piece of wisdom. This time from H.C. Leupold. He writes, quote, "This then was on Adam's part, as far as was possible under the circumstances, a true and living faith in Christ. This faith of his surely could not have all the clearness that marks the faith of New Testament believers, but the essentials of faith were in evidence. And since faith cannot come into being unless true repentance precedes, we are justified in saying that indirectly the repentance of Adam is here taught. Again, everything has been done in perfect harmony with the rule that God follows of begetting faith by the means of grace. Prominent are the elements of gospel which were calculated to work faith in the hearts of these first hearers." End quote. As usual, we are running out of time for today and this week. I hope what has been shared thus far in verse 20 will give you something to ponder this weekend. There are some more connections I want to make between this verse and the next one, which will carry us into next week. Please do be sure and come back on Monday. Lord willing, I will be here with all of these other listeners, coast to coast and around our world. Out of death comes life. Only God can do this. Only God has the power to do this. And the gospel is God's idea. It is his gospel. Here on God Is, you receive the gospel regularly. You know what the gospel is. The question is, do you believe it? Do you receive it and believe it? I urge you to believe in Christ today, and then join me on Monday for God Is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.